We welcome you all to this evening with Catherine Bell. And before I introduce Catherine, I just want to share a little bit about the Center for World Networking. We are a nonprofit educational organization. And I'm just going to read our statement of purpose, as this is who we are and what we represent. Many are inspired by love to work for the greater health and well-being of individuals and the world. The purpose of the Center for World Networking is to bring such groups and individuals into greater public awareness and to network their efforts and resources for mutual benefit and world healing. Through networking, we intend to foster unity, love, healing, understanding, and assistance in our local and world community. So you entered via our website, and we invite you to go back and explore our website. We offer a newsletter, which Catherine contributed an article in this past August, September. So if you haven't read her article, it's very good, well written. So it's my pleasure to introduce Catherine Bell. And I want to say that I had attended her Dream Festival, right? Back at Inner Light Ministry about 3 years ago. And it was such a fabulous event. And I really enjoyed all the different activities. And I had her card. And I got on her email list. And every once in a while, I'd get an email from Catherine. And every time I'd see it, I'd think, oh, it'd be great to bring her as a Monday night presenter for at the center, you know, let's network her, let's bring her out. And I never did it. And then a couple of months ago, her card fell out of a book. And it was like, okay, now I'm going to write her. So that is how this has transpired. And Catherine has said yes. And Catherine is a dream coach and is the founder of Experiential Dreamwork. She is the host of the Dream Journal, a podcast of a weekly radio show featuring call-ins and live interviews with dream experts. The show is designed to spread information and excitement about the healing power of our nightly dreams. And she is the host and creator of the Festival of Dreams. And you have a weekly dream workshop on Mondays.
That's right.
And we will put her website in the chat box as you'll be able to find out more information on her website.
Thank you, Mariana. It's really a delight to be here today, really honor to be recognized. And I love that synchronicity of the card just popping out of your wallet. I just am so passionate about the healing power of our nighttime dreams, and I love to share that and inspire other people to pay attention to their dreams and to be curious about how they are helping us. So I'm going to start with a quote, which is, "Your task is not to seek for love, but merely to seek and find all the barriers within yourself that you have built against it." That's a Rumi quote. And so I'm going to take that quote, and at this point I want to lead us in a grounding meditation. So I invite you to start to notice your breath. If it helps you to focus on your body, I invite you to close your eyes if you like. You're welcome to leave them open if you prefer. But so often we are so busy in our lives and planning and thinking and moving forward from one thing to the next. In this moment, I want to invite you to be here in this moment. Notice the flow of the breath in and out. Notice the support of the chair that holds you up and the pressure of your feet on the floor. And all in these sensations is the breath weaving in and out. So often these sensations go unnoticed as we go from day to day throughout our day. But I'm inviting you to really notice those sensations, bring them into consciousness. These sensations are the live animal body that you are. And I invite you to sink down into that animal body and notice what's there. We have breath and heartbeat. Even the brain is a part of the body. We have thoughts. So notice your thoughts. And all these ways of moving are natural for us. And yet a lot of that is habitual. There are certain things that we do in our lives that are habitual. And sometimes those things, those habits, can become blocks to us moving forward. They can become blocks to us finding love in our lives or to having a deeper and more meaningful relationship with the divine. So I invite you to notice right now the breath. So many spiritual traditions have us pay attention to our breath, but it proceeds quite fine without our attention. And it's the same with dreams. Our dreams weave through our night. They have a rhythmic quality. They come and they go during the course of the night, the way that our breath comes and goes through our body. And most of the time we don't pay any attention to our dreams. Yet there are many, many spiritual practices that tell us the importance of paying attention to our breath and the power of paying attention to our breath. And by making the breath conscious, we can deepen our connection with our bodies. Pranayama, meditation, yoga, these are all practices that bring the breath into consciousness. Similarly, bringing dreams into consciousness is a way of deepening our spiritual practice as humans. So if we bring the dreams into consciousness, they give us information to work with. They give us feelings to work with. They give us images to work with. So the same way we're bringing the breath into consciousness right now, I'm going to suggest you might consider bringing dreams into consciousness as well. So I invite you to notice that paying attention to your breath for a few minutes now, how has that changed you? There's no intention here, just attention. And it's the same with dreams. If we bring our attention to our dreams without even an intention, just the attention to our dreams, it will change us and allow us to become more fully and completely who we are. So I welcome you to come out of the meditation and make yourself comfortable. Open your eyes if you like. And I'm going to read that quote again. Your task is not to seek for love, but merely to seek and find all the barriers within yourself that you have built against it. Notice that Rumi does not say that you are to destroy the barriers that you've built against love, just to seek and find them. So the dreams too bring to our attention these barriers that we have built to love. And our goal in working with dreams is not to destroy them, but just to notice them, to bring them into awareness. So what are dreams anyway? You know, you wake up in the morning, you go, what was that weird thing? I was over there doing something very strange. What? And then you forget about it and go around along your day. You're like, well, okay. But what dreams are is this electrical activity in the brain that happens at a very deep level, that when we're sleeping, the conscious part of our mind, the part where we're thinking and planning and judging and making decisions, the prefrontal cortex is largely quiescent while we're sleeping. And so that's the main part of our experience when we're awake, is that prefrontal cortex. But when we're sleeping, that part of our brain is very quiet. And then the electrical activity, the neuronal activity, goes to the deeper part of the brain, hippocampus, the amygdala, all those parts of the brain that are concerned with personal history and with emotions. And those parts of the brain wake up. So we get to see what's going on at a deeper level by accessing our dreams. So the dreams really give us a window into the subconscious processes, and they give us a window into our bodies, that our bodies have a huge amount of information that they give to us. And much of that information is not processed consciously, but just goes in at a subconscious level, like breathing. We do it all day, every day. But unless we stop and pay attention to breathing, or if we're running very hard and the breathing becomes strong, we don't really notice the breathing most of the time. And yet it's there doing its job. So too, the dreams are actually working out within our brain. And what they are working out is, studies have shown they primarily help us regulate our emotions and to improve social functioning. So the dreams are particularly good at helping us sort out what it means to be human and how to relate to other people. So studying your dreams is a perfect way to start to understand and improve your relationship with other human beings on the planet. There's an old Russian proverb, which is, the morning is wiser than the evening. And what it is in fact, it's the dreams that are helping us go to sleep. Like sometimes we'll say, I'm not sure what I wanna do, I'll sleep on it. But actually what the real decision is, the real thing that's helping us decide is our dreams and not the sleep per se. So it's the dreams that actually sort out what we want. So you wake up in the morning and you go, oh, now I know what I want to do. It's because your dreams have helped you sort out and integrate the different inputs coming from the body, coming from the mind, and they come together with the synthesis that helps us make decisions and helps us get along better with other people and to have happier, more meaningful lives. So by making the dreams conscious, we have access to all of these things. So there are many different ways of working with dreams. There's many things that they do. A lot of people find there's precognition in dreams. Or there may be people have out-of-body experiences or telepathy. A lot of people pursue lucid dreaming. Interestingly, I had a lucid dream last night spontaneously, and I rarely ever have lucid dreams. But last night, I did. And then some people actually use dreams to practice sports so that if you're practicing doing a ski jump or something, that maybe you can train yourself to ski jump at night and actually then there's no physical consequences. But my passions are personal evolution, relationships, and spiritual connection. So these are three things that are very focused on what dreams are offering us. So by studying my dreams, I get to enhance my own personal evolution, my relationships, and my spiritual connection. And those three things all tie into finding love. So the dreams are mirrors of what's going on for us, that when you have a dream, the feeling that's in the dream is usually something that's very close to what you're feeling in waking life. And so in which case, they are a mirror to what's happening in waking life. But now the images may be very different. So you have to keep that in mind, that it's really the feeling that they are focused on. So that's one major category of dreams. There's another major category of dreams where there's an invitation. Something new is opening up and something new is being born in us. And we use the dream as like an invitation to open up to that step as well. So we have mirrors of behavior, how we are right now, and we have invitations to our greater selves, which often means connection with divine or improvement of our relationships or invitations to deeper personal growth. All dreams come in the service of wholeness. This is the words of Jeremy Taylor, who has written many dream books, and he was one of my inspirations, the books that he wrote. And it's something good to keep in mind that all dreams, not just some of the dreams, but all dreams come in the service of wholeness. So, and by listening to your dreams, you're really learning to listen to yourself. So even the dreams that seem scary and challenging or just confusing or anxious, even those dreams are coming to make us whole. And they're coming to help us learn to listen to ourselves. So what comes down to is a relationship comes down to self-work. And that as we are wanting to improve the relationships in our lives, that we can start with ourselves. That we are the fulcrum of our lives. That if we want to change something in our lives, we start with ourselves is the most powerful way to begin. And dreams are perfect because they focus on ourselves. But there's so much about relationships and dreams that they often show us how we are in relationship. So we get to see how we are in relationship, and then they also offer commentary in the guise of feelings. So the basics of a dream is that there's an image and there's a feeling. So if there's an image and a feeling that come together, then that is a complete dream. If it's just an image and there's no feeling, you know, that could be helpful. That could still be helpful. And sometimes we're not very connected to our feelings, and so the feelings are maybe kind of hidden. And then also sometimes we can wake up with a feeling and no image, and that also works just fine as a dream. But the power happens when the feeling and the image come together, and then we get to connect with those feelings and see what's happening in waking life so that we can improve our lives. So dreams really are all about relationship. There's so many times there's people in our dreams. It's a rare dream where there's no other person in it or no other thing to have relationship, that there may be animals, there may be spirits, there may be other kinds of creatures, but very often there's people in dreams because there's the way that dreams really comment on relationships. And one of the amazing things about dreams is that as we heal our relationships in our dreams, then all of our outer relationships improve. So if you have a dream and there's something comes up in the dream that is difficult, then that maybe gives you some idea of what's difficult in your waking life relationships. And then as you work with that, then your waking life relationships start to improve. So I'll give you an example. So I had a dream 4 or 5 years, actually more like 6 or 7 years ago at this point. And it's a very simple dream, highly memorable. I'm in a car, driving my car, and sitting on the curb of this parking lot is this homeless guy with a guitar. Playing his guitar and singing, and he's looking at me. He looks right at me, and I'm like in my car, like I gotta go, and I just drove away. And he's just looking after me longingly. And for me, there's something about the way I like to stay in control, that I like to have the steering wheel. I don't want to get out of the car. I don't want to park my car. He's in a parking lot, but it's scary to me to park my car because then I'd have to give up control. And it's true that in my relationships, I am very controlling, and that I can be to the point where I like it how I like it. And, you know, it's okay to a degree, but, you know, the dream is making the point that there's maybe something that I could loosen up a little here. And over the years since that dream, I believe that I have. It's tough to talk to my friends and family, but I believe I have. So there's something about that. That control, and the one of the ways that I know that that's what's going on in the dream is the feeling that I have in the dream, and that when I'm driving the car and driving away from that homeless guy with the guitar, I feel anxious. It's like, oh, I know there's a call. There's some way that he's kind of pulling my attention, like, oh, there's something kind of interesting there, but I feel like, no, I'm not going to let go. And so that's the clue that this is not a helpful behavior for me. If I were in the dream and it felt like, oh, well, that's fine, I'm going to go, then maybe it would be fine to have this behavior where I turn away from other people because I want to maintain control. So that's an example of how you can use a dream to notice what goes on in your life. Now remember the quote, our task is to seek and find the barriers to love. So here is a barrier to love that I like to stay in control. And I'm not trying to change that behavior. I'm just noticing the behavior. And so that one of the things as we start to work with our dreams, that it's very helpful to come back to noticing, using the word noticing. Like, I'm noticing I like to be in control. And then in waking life, I can say, oh, I notice that I really didn't, I was really in, wanted to be in control there, and I couldn't let go of control. Because we have to be careful about shame, and that if I get into the position where I'm like thinking I'm bad because I'm in control, then we kind of shut down, because you know nobody wants to be scolded, and I don't want you to scold yourself. I don't want to scold myself. So we don't want to get into a situation where we're scolding ourselves about our behaviors, but it's just to seek and find the barriers. So if one of the barriers is being in control, we have to kind of learn to notice that behavior. Like, oh, I notice I'm in control. Huh. What might be going on here? And sometimes what happens is underneath, I'm afraid. Like, I mean, in waking life, I probably would not get out of the car and walk over to a homeless person. So there's some fear there. And that's fine. But I notice that there's fear underneath the control. And so if I notice that in waking life, when I'm having a situation where I'm being controlling, I can kind of take a breath and go, okay, I'm being very controlling here. What's going on? And if I notice that there's fear underneath, then I have a lot more tenderness for myself. And then I can maybe approach the relationship with a little bit more openness, maybe let go of the steering wheel just a little bit. So it's very helpful to start to cultivate this mindset where you are noticing the behavior rather than judging it or thinking you're wrong or trying to change it even. I would recommend not even trying to change behaviors, even if you know that they're not helping you. Because I think that changing a behavior just adds on another layer that you're going to have to peel off later, so another barrier. So instead of adding another barrier, you see, if you notice one barrier to love, instead of adding a different one, like just notice the barrier and then let it dissolve on its own. And that by noticing the feeling that control really doesn't feel good, that can really help that barrier start to dissolve. And then whatever takes its place will be natural. So what I want to say again, because I think it's so miraculous, when I first started noticing this about my dream work, is that as we heal our relationships in our dreams, then all of our outer relationships improve. So like this homeless guy is like a, kind of a symbolic of the way I relate to people in general. So as I learn to loosen my control, maybe open up to this person here, then in my dreams, then my waking life, all my relationships will start to loosen up and have a little less control. So it's a very powerful technique to work with your dreams, very all-encompassing. So it's an opportunity to practice relationships in our dreams. So we practice them, and we also notice what we're doing and how it feels, because there is no right or no wrong. The main thing is, how do you want to feel? So if what I wanted to feel was like really tight and in control, then that's fine. I can be really tight and in control, because there could be ways that's smart. Like it can be smart to stay in control. Like, for example, when you're driving, so let's keep a hold of the wheel. Okay. But maybe, you know, if we're cooking dinner, I'm cooking dinner with my partner, maybe I want to loosen up a little bit. Maybe it's make it a little more collaborative. So it's all about, how does it make you feel, and do you like the way you feel? So to notice that in dreams and then bring that into waking life and notice how you feel with people and notice whether you like that feeling or not. So dreams always are helpful. Just plain always. The Jeremy Taylor quote, dreams, all dreams come in the service of wholeness. And within that dream, there's always some help. So there's always some opportunity for us to get out of our predicament, to feel better. You know, in that case, maybe I could have opened the door, or I could have like even stopped and rolled down the window. You know, there's different ways that I could have been in that dream. There's different opportunities. So I just want to emphasize that the dreams are there to help us. And it's helpful to take that mindset. So even nightmares, even really uncomfortable dreams can be powerful and can be helpful. And so even if it's really uncomfortable, even if it's horrifying, painful, scary, just take a breath and know it's a dream and they're here to help me. So there's something about this feeling that is very important. Like very early on in my dream work, I had a dream, very simple. I had been having all these kind of gray dreams that were kind of echoing castle hallways and, you know, gray empty moors and just kind of these vague feelings and with vague scenery with kind of just kind of like unease, just this vague unease. But I finally got some sharp feelings in a super simple dream, looking through a window. It reminds me now looking at the Zoom window. Looking through a window, I'm in a house, my house I lived in at the time, and I'm looking through the window and I see at the bottom of the hill, there's two cars that looks like they crashed together maybe years ago. And there's like weeds growing up through them and they're all getting rusty, but they had crashed together and there was some way that these two cars were smashed up. And something about this vision was scary. There was just like this kind of like sharp, like, ooh, something happened there. Something scary happened. And it just triggered this feeling in me that was like this kind of sharp feeling of fear that kind of cut through all the misery and the vague disease that I had been feeling. So that even this feeling of is fear was a helpful feeling because it helped to cut through a lot of my a lot of my BS. And that I was I have a PhD in astrophysics. I was very successful as a scientist. I worked at NASA for years, but I was miserable. It was just not the right thing for me. And yet I had this veneer of competence, this veneer of like, I'm fine. Everything's fine. This is great. I can do it. But underneath the dreams, as I was saying, were all these like river of misery kind of dreams. And that sharp feeling of fear cut through some of that misery. And it also woke up to me like this fear of like, but what if I'm not? What if I'm not happy here? Ah, scary. What if I need to change my life? Like, you know, what if my choices aren't suiting me anymore? And so like this feeling and the feeling something crashed, like, is there a way that I've been hurt that I'm just not willing to go into? But I have been hurt. Like there's a part of me that maybe had been crashed. And I'm starting to see that if I start to feel into that, if I start to connect with that part of me that's in such pain and that's all grown over with weeds, then what do I have to give up here? What's going to change? I mean, there's like fear that kind of ran through me underneath this veneer of confidence and I've got it and I'm fine. I don't need a partner. And, you know, all this, whatever it was that kind of kept me isolated, there was this huge amount of fear. And the fear can cut through like a knife. So fear is extremely helpful. So I'm talking about this period of my personal dream work, which is fairly common in people, and to the point that Carl Jung wrote about this period when we're working through all these kind of uncomfortable, uneasy things that just don't feel good, and the dreams just aren't bringing us a lot of satisfaction. He called this period the desert. And he talks about it in the Red Book, that there's a period when people, as they're starting to take away the facade, which is of course preventing us from being authentic, but the facade has been very useful up until now because I always got good grades, you know, I got the good job, you know, I got all this feedback from society that was good for me to do, but it was a facade. And so as you're starting to like feel what's going on underneath that facade, underneath that discomfort that comes through, we call it the desert. And the thing about the desert, I think it was a Winston Churchill quote. It says, if you're going through hell, just keep going, you know, don't set up camp. So when you're in the desert, keep going. So the quote from the Red Book is this: why is myself a desert? Have I lived too much outside of myself in men and events? Why did I avoid myself? Was I not dear to myself? But I have avoided the place of my soul. And there's a way that so many of us have lived outside of ourselves. And so living for other people because of expectations, because of what others expect, or what we think they expect, or what we expect of ourselves. And what is going on with our soul? What's really happening deep inside? And in order to have deep and meaningful relationships, it starts with a deep and meaningful relationship with ourselves, with our soul. But we have to start uncovering the ways that we've been pretending everything's fine. And the desert is the time when we're starting to rip back the veil of everything's fine. Fine, fine. They call that the fine, fine. The okie doke. Yes, everything's fine. Not so much. Because underneath, sometimes there's a lot of pain and fear and insecurity, uncertainty. And as we start to open that up and feel into those things, it can be a painful process. So dreams will start to show us our pain. Like when I was driving and I drove away from the guy sitting by the curb, there was like, I was no way going to expose myself to him. But it turns out that singing is actually something that's really important to me. He's holding a guitar, singing, and like, come on over here, don't you wanna? And I'm like, ah, no, I've got a career. I can't possibly. So, you know, of course I was afraid of that because it's so appealing. It's so longing, and yet it might upset my apple cart. So, you know, we all have these elaborate apple carts we set up. And the dreams come to show us what's true. And it's not always a beautifully stacked apple cart. So I want to say that it is natural to be interested in bad things that happen to us. It's natural for us to be interested in bad dreams because, you know, we survive. We have to survive. You can have 10 wonderful experiences, but if you have one tiger comes up, then you're dead. So, of course, we have to pay attention to that one tiger. We have to pay attention to the bad things in life because that is that's going to keep us alive. But then there's those 10 wonderful things that happen along with the one bad thing. Oh, sorry, the 10. Well, yeah, 10 wonderful things and one bad thing. And we pay attention to the one bad thing. Well, dreams are like that, too, that we can have 10 wonderful dreams and one bad dream. And we remember the bad dream. So it becomes a kind of a training that we start to notice the good things. And that's where the practice of gratitude is so powerful. And gratitude is an incredibly powerful practice. It's many, many spiritual traditions talk about gratitude. And one of the beautiful things about gratitude is that it helps us to focus on the good things in life. So as we start to notice the good things in life and start to notice the good things in our dreams, we can start to open up to the parts of ourselves where everything is going well. Because for the most part, for most of us, things are basically going well. So the facade is not wrong. You know, the facade that says, oh, I'm fine. It's not wrong because it's true that a lot of what's happening in most of our lives is really kind of pretty good, kind of okay. But the thing is that river of misery that flows underneath needs some attention, love, and then to open that up is going to make us more authentic and deepen our relationship with ourselves and with other people in the world. So one thing that you can notice in the dreams and in waking life is to notice what takes you away from the support. These are the blocks to love. That when we notice, like the control, like I talked about with that dream, is that I noticed that the control is one of the blocks to love. And it was a missed opportunity. So you notice missed opportunities because this man here on the curb had something for me. He had a guitar. He was singing. I love guitars. I love to sing. But I'm driving away because I have my block going, which is control. So this is like a missed opportunity. But the thing to do at this point is not to go, stupid. I should have just gotten out of the car and sat with him, because that's just going to put shame on yourself. And so instead, here's one of my favorite words, tender. All my people tease me about this. Being tender with yourself is like super, super important here. Is there's a way that is just too scary for me to stop and get out of the car and go over there and sing. And like I said, in waking life, I wouldn't either, and that's fine. But this is how I'd be tender with myself to say, okay, I was not the right moment. Because, you know, the dreams will come around again, guaranteed, 100%. The dreams come, they come constantly. They come every day and every night. I mean, so the dreams will not let us down. So I can say to myself, I can reframe my behavior. I can say, well, I was doing the best I could. And so I missed that opportunity. Oh, well, I have to have another one. And I know that will come. And I just didn't know any better. Like, I did the best I could. And another thing that we can say to help us feel better and to be tender with ourselves is to acknowledge that we were hurt in the past. Like these two crashed cars that were the weeds growing through them, there's some way that I was really badly hurt. And so this is why it's so difficult for me to be in relationship and so difficult for me to acknowledge the good things in my life is because I have been hurt, and but I want to pretend that I wasn't, because that's safer for me to be strong. Now, we have different ways of feeling safe, but that's one that I find very powerful, is to pretend everything's fine. So acknowledging that I was hurt in the past, like, of course, I'm not going to let go of the steering wheel because, you know, I've been hurt, and so I can get to be tender with myself. So as we are uncovering and seeking and finding these barriers to love, I encourage you to be tender with yourself. So they have done studies. I am still a scientist, even though I am now a dream coach, I am also a scientist. And so I have lots of interest in reading about the studies of dreams. And so, yes, dreams do have more negative feelings than positive. That when you go through and people list their dreams, they do various dream studies. There are indeed more negative there are more negative feelings in dreams than positive dreams. But there are still positive dreams, positive feelings, and positive dreams. And so one of the practices here, as we're looking to improve our relationship to our dreams, is to give attention to good dreams and to the good dream moments. So one of the ways that I want to talk about this is something called dream allies. That there's these dream allies are characters that come in pretty much every dream. I can't say exactly everyone, but pretty much every dream, if you look through even the scariest dream, there's somebody in there or some opportunity in there that is an ally. There's something there where you get to be helped, where you get helped. And so the way that, and this is where we start to make connections with the divine and with the spiritual aspect. Because over time, I have come to believe that these characters that we meet in our dreams that are helpful are kind of fingers of the divine, that they are reaching through into our dreams, into our consciousness, as representatives of the divine, that there's a way that we cannot take in possibly the entire magnificence and awesomeness of the divine or of spirit, whatever you want to call it. There's no way that we can comprehend the entirety of the divine. And yet there in our dreams, these little fingers, these tendrils of divinity reach through offering us support. And as we start to become hunters and looking through our dreams and finding those characters who are offering us more, who are inviting us to more, like that fellow on the curb who's inviting me to sing, that we start to become like hunters. Roger Kamenetz, who is the founder of Natural Dream Work, which is one of the disciplines that I've studied, has a saying he likes, which is, every dream is a sacred encounter. So we look at every single dream we've ever had, there's a sacred encounter, or would usually we miss it. But there is an opportunity for us to encounter the sacred. Like the man sitting on the curb, there's something sacred there that if he is one of the fingers of the divine reaching through, I had the opportunity to connect with him, with that divine, and to connect with the expression that I have, with the singing that is so feeds my soul. So if we start to look at our dreams using that saying that every dream is a sacred encounter, you know, this can really also apply to relationships in waking life. That every person we meet, it's like the namaste that people say. My understanding of that tradition is that the God in me recognizes the God in you. So every time we have an encounter with another human being, we are having a sacred encounter. So we get jaded and we have blocks, so we don't recognize the divinity in others, but we have opportunities to. And the more we work with these sacred beings, these divine beings in our dreams, the more we can see them in waking life as well. So I want to spend a few minutes talking about these sacred beings and how to recognize them, because by enhancing our relationship with these sacred beings, that's the surest way, the quickest way to enhance our relationship with other human beings and also with ourselves. So this is like one of those opportunities where by changing our relationship to that one being, that we get to change our relationship to all beings in the world and in the divine. So these characters are not always the center part of the dream. They may well be way off to the side. I had a nightmare not that long ago, a few weeks ago, all about my radio show, which Mariana mentioned at the top of the hour, The Dream Journal, which is also a podcast. And I had a nightmare that that the board had shrunk and I couldn't recognize the dials. It's a live show, so you got to go, go, go. You know, the clock's ticking and people are listening, and it's sometimes a little stressful. And so in this nightmare, there was, I was like, I couldn't hear, I didn't have any headphones, I couldn't hear anything, and I'm trying to get the music. I couldn't get the guest on the phone. Just everything went wrong. You know, those kind of anxiety nightmares. You think, typical anxiety nightmare. We all have those. But one thing that I didn't see until I went back and read my dream very carefully is that at one point in the middle of all this mayhem, there's a man sitting there, kind of young guy. He's got headphones on. He's listening to the show. Apparently he can hear, but I can't. And I look over at him and he looks at me and he goes, thumbs up, you're good to go. And I take it in for about 2 seconds and then blah, then I'm back to my mayhem. And I'm just like, so he was there. So there he is, there's the ally. And I didn't pay much attention to him. And even the first time or two I shared the dream and thought about the dream, I didn't notice him. But I went back and read the detail. I'm like, oh, wait a minute, there he is. And then as I've been working the dream since then, I've been bringing this guy in and letting him be with me. With his headphones, he knows what's going on. Give me a thumbs up. It's like, yeah, you got it. I mean, even like right now, I mean, in the middle of a talk, I don't know how it's going. I'm just doing my best. And I can kind of picture him sitting there right next to me, giving me a thumbs up. It's like, yeah, you're doing okay. And it's such a relief to like let that in, that maybe it's okay. Maybe I am doing okay. And there's somebody here with me. So these characters, ways to recognize them, is they don't judge us, they don't rush us, we can always say no to them, we can always drive away from the guy in the parking lot or the guy in the studio. I could just pretend he wasn't there. And they always proceed at our pace. We do not have to ever say yes to them. They just are there loving us no matter what. So an example of that is a dream that I had a couple of years ago, when I'm standing on a stage, so singing. I talked about singing, playing guitar. So after having this dream with a guy with a guitar, and working on other dreams, and really feeling into how much I miss singing. I used to sing a lot. You know, it was kind of a joke when I was a little kid. I would sing to myself so often that my friends would go, "Oh, we could always tell when Kathy's coming because we can hear her humming." Because I was just like, I just love to sing. It just feels. Resonates my body. I just love it. But I'd been years since I'd done any singing. I wasn't in a choir. And so I slowly started to get back into this singing. And around that time, I had a dream where I'm on stage. The lights are on stage. There's an audience there in the darkness. And there's a man next to me. He's sitting on a piano. He's playing the piano. These amazing chords up and down. And I'm standing next to the piano wearing this gorgeous evening gown. And I'm just standing there and I'm staring into his eyes, just like, the man who's playing the piano is just playing the piano. And I'm having this wonderful moment of connection, just staring at him and feeling loved and feeling like accepted. So like there's something amazing that I let in the love that he felt for me. And so I could feel that love for him. So there's a way that this ally here was reflecting back to me my love, or he had the love and I was reflecting his love. I don't know which way it goes, mirrors. But there's a way that was really amazing, that I actually could let it in, because I've come a long way at this point from driving away from the guy on the curb. So now I'm actually interacting with this guy and standing up on the stage. And you know, that was a powerful moment. But then my dream coach says, okay, this is lovely, but there's more. So there's like an invitation here. And if you step back from the dream and you look at the setting, you got the stage, the lights, the audience, the guy playing the piano, woman in a long evening dress. What's the invitation? Maybe I could be singing. He's playing the piano. Maybe this is an invitation for me to sing. So this is kind of where I've taken the next step. I'm starting to make the connection and I'm starting to get an invitation, but see, he didn't judge me at all. In the dream, this ally here, did not go, oh, she's not singing. I'm just playing the piano. She's not singing. No, no, no. He was like, I love you. This is amazing. Total support. We always get to say no to these guys, and they keep coming back. So that's one of the amazing things about these characters is they keep coming back. And we can say no, and you know, maybe later we'll see, like, oh, I missed that sacred encounter. Like, there was a sacred encounter, and I could have gone more. I could have made it deeper. But that's okay, because they will come back. So this was part of a journey that I had with singing. And then, you know, over this, I actually started writing songs about my dreams and started singing them a cappella in front of dream groups that I was part of at the time. And it was super powerful for me to reclaim my voice. And, you know, singing just resonates through my body. And it really put me in touch with my body in a way that I really missed when I wasn't singing all those years, and maybe in a way that I'd never felt. So this was like an invitation to take me deeper and deeper. So one thing about these allies, these kind of fingers of the divine, is that they need us too. That there's a way that they love us, and they love us to love them. And it's not just me, it's not just you, it's everybody. It's like God wants that connection with each and every one of us. And there's a song that I love by Ricky Byers called Revelation. And the quote from that song is, I discovered that God loves me and he needs me too. Now I know why I'm alive. So there's something about that. That there's something that he needs me, and he or she, sometimes these fingers of the divine are can be male or female, elders, childs, they can become in all different forms. But there's a way that God needs me too. And thus I become the hands of God in the world. So there's a way that my passion can be used to inspire passion in others. But the thing I love about this for this moment, there's so many things I love about that song. But the thing for this moment is that God needs me too. So there's a way that there's like a connection that happens, and that God benefits from the connection with me, and I benefit from the connection. So it's one of those things that just magnifies. So dream allies. So what are these creatures? You know, higher self, inner self, deeper self, ally, guide, animus, anima, soul, beloved, cosmic entity, divine, celestial messenger, sacred encounters. I don't know what they are, but these beings in our dreams are here to establish a relationship with us. And as we do establish that relationship over time, and you will establish that relationship, if you notice these and you work with these and you practice these moments in waking life, you will develop that relationship. That alone will improve your relationship with everybody in your life, including yourself. So that's my main point here is that we establish the relationship with these divine parts of ourselves inside of us, that will deepen our relationships to all other human beings. And so they come as someone we love, someone we admire, movie stars, presidents, doctors, elders, anonymous helpful figures. So I get a lot of those. So they can come in many different guises, these allies. Occasionally they come as tricksters, so that somebody, an ally, may provoke us to show us where our wounds are. Sometimes in a dream, somebody will say something or do something that just triggers me, and I just get mad or I react. And that is a gift, right? It doesn't feel good, but it's a gift. So then I notice where that trigger is. So I can notice, like, oh, that's a sore spot. Because when we have a, you know, sore spot, we are wounded. When we have a wound right here, then, and somebody bumps up against us, and we go, ow, it's not the person who bumped us that hurt us. It's the fact that we were already wounded. And so that if we become familiar with our wounds, we know where the wounds are, then we can direct our attention there and start to heal that. So that in the dream, the character kind of bumps up against us, and we get to see where the wounds are. So how do you work with, so I'm just going to say that I always consider whether it's possible that even some harmful person in a dream may actually be an ally in disguise. So it's a little delicate because there are traumatic dreams. There are dreams that are just very painful, that where there doesn't seem to be anything good in them. And I, that's fine if there's nothing good there, but I just asked you to consider, could even this person who's being harmful be an ally in disguise? It sometimes happens that when, you know, I'll be in a dream and somebody's trying to make love to me, but it feels like he's going to rape me. So I'm in the dream, I may wake up and write down, he tried to rape me. But then if I feel back into it and just kind of give myself a second and say, ooh, I don't know, just let me just consider this. Could it possibly be that he was actually making love to me and that I just, like, he just hit my wound? So I hesitate a little to bring in this, but just to consider, you know, it's kind of a classic, perhaps you guys know this, if someone's chasing you, if possible, you know, then there's something they want to give you, or maybe there's something they want to tell you, or maybe there's some way they want to help you, or you're running away, and they're chasing after you. So consider whether the person who appears harmful in the dream may actually be an ally in disguise. So just consider that possibility. So how do we work with these allies? So these allies can become a real focus of our dreams. And like I was talking about, that we want to focus on the good parts of our lives, good parts in the dreams, but these allies can become focus, both sides, they can be focus of how we can improve our relationship with others, how we can bring more meaningfulness and satisfaction into our life, and how we can open up to the spiritual and to the divine. So we want to focus on these figures, that if we identify these figures, and it doesn't have matter right or wrong, they'll come again. That's the thing. Dreams keep coming every night. So if you do identify this, take this ally encounter, the sacred encounter, and remind yourself about the sacred encounter throughout the day. Even if it's just a fleeting second in the dream, like then that nightmare at the dream journal, but I've been reminding myself, oh, the guy, oh, he's here. He's got his headphones. He's going to tell me it's okay. That I lengthen that out. I slow it down and I bring that into my waking life. And I practice that as a meditation. So yeah, bask in that moment of possibility and take in the feeling and let yourself feel that it can be good to be in relationship with others. Because for me, I found that relationships were very scary and often I would run away because I had been triggered. I had been wounded so often in relationship that I was like, okay, I don't want to like get close enough for you to really hurt me. But so those moments, like the moments where I'm at, where the man's at the piano and I'm with him, like just really drinking that, it actually feels good to be in a relationship with others, whether it's other humans or the divine or with ourselves. There will always be another chance. So whether you, even if you missed it in the moment, it's okay. It'll come around again. Dreams come every night like rain. Wait with infinite grace, sending dream after dream after dream, that these allies are waiting for us, and they will wait for our entire lives. And with no judgment, just playing the piano, wondering if you'll notice the invitation. If you don't, that's okay, there'll be more. But one of the amazing side effects of working with dream allies, which I totally did not expect at all when I started working with dreams, is that working with these dream moments and feeling those moments when I feel really met and accompanied led to a feeling of being accompanied in waking life. So that now in waking life, I feel like there's that I'm loved, that there is love for me in the world. And that really, you know, takes the edge off of looking for a relationship when I feel like I am already loved. Or if somebody says something hurtful, then I'm like, okay, I can take a breath. I'm like, okay, that hurt. But it's not the end of the world anymore. But there's a way that I can like, okay, yes. And then I can look at the guy with the headphones, give me the thumbs up, and I'll go, yeah, okay, it's all right. I survived. I'll be okay. And there's like a way that brings in this sense of the real immanence, the real presence of God, the presence of spirit in my life on a daily basis, really moment by moment. And not every moment. I mean, there's always going to be moments when I'm just driving to get somewhere. My dreams know me so well. That's such a thing for me. I got to hurry up and get there. But, you know, okay, it'll come around again. And then later when I arrived, then I start to see, then I start to go, oh yeah, okay, he's there. So this is like this connection with God is nothing that I look for, but it is a side effect of working with dreams in this way, when you're looking for the allies, emphasizing those things. So I want to tell you my trifecta of working with dreams. The trifecta that I use for working with dreams is tenderness for yourself and for others, and especially for yourself in the dreams. Curiosity, what's going on here? I wonder. And the third one is longing. Like, can we connect to the longing to open up, the longing for more? Like, what it would be like to have more, just to be curious. So we have curiosity, tenderness, curiosity, and longing. Those are my three favorite words in the English language. And those are ones that will really help you to open up the dream content and to connect better to other people and to yourself. So I thank you for your attention. This has really been amazing for me. I can't believe time has flown by. And I just encourage you all to have patience and faith in the love and grace of the divine. And that is always there for you. And as you start to connect, there's self, others, and divine. And all of those, as we connect to one, we start to connect to all of them.